saying nothing, lying where the sun is, baking doubt upon our sides.
Welcome back to the Bruce Allen Show, A Dad's Point of View. You can email me questions at bruce@brucesallan.com. That's Bruce and Sallan, S-A-L-L-A-N. That's S like in Sam's, Pastor Drew Sams, who is normally my guest on segment number two, but today he is joining us, on segment number three, but today he is joining us for our second segment. Pastor Drew Sams is a teaching pastor at Calvary Community Church in Westlake Village, California. He and his wife, Erica, live in Westlake Village and are the proud parents of their first son, Judah Andrew Sams. Welcome back to the show, Pastor Drew.
Bruce, thanks for having me on again.
I am very pleased and happy to have you on. Let's start off our show with you, as we always do, with a health and welfare update on baby Drew with a fanfare. Okay, how is 16-month-old little Drew doing?
Boy, he's doing great. You know, I've been sharing with you and the listeners for a while that my son, he talks all the time, but he never speaks English. But now he's
Neither does my wife.
Yeah, a lot of people are like, is that German? People either think it's German or Japanese, which sound very, very different, but we know that it's not English. But he's just starting this week to say some English words. Bubbles, cookie, shoes, hot. Yeah, it's so fun.
Oh, that's great. That's great. You got to get some of the German and Japanese gibberish on video.
I know.
Okay, Pastor Drew, listen to me. You got to finish your first year blog. It's 4 months overdue, and you got to do this video stuff as he starts to talk. It's hysterical.
I know. I'll be kicking myself
a few years from now.
I haven't done it.
It. I mean, the first year thing is much less of a concern than getting those moments on video.
Yeah.
And if you have a good enough phone, you can just do it with your phone.
You know, my problem is with my phone, my wife and I, we filled it up with our photos and such, so when we go to do a video, it says storage full, can't take a video. We got to get on this. We're wasting time here.
No, you really do.
Great moments.
You can take the photos off, keep them on your computer, and just keep the ones that you really want to share all the time. I'm actually cleaning out my phone often for exactly that purpose, because I've had times when I've been at concerts or something and I got that memory full thing, and I'm scrambling to delete things, and you don't want to be doing that.
No.
And with the spontaneity of being a father and a child changing literally moment by moment, you want to be there. You want to get it. It was funny. I was on vacation recently, and I was golfing with my wife and two of her friends that came to visit, and we're approaching the green. And we see, and this was a case where I didn't have my camera ready or my video phone. I wasn't even thinking about it. We see, because there's houses adjacent to this particular course and adjacent to this green. We see two or three of the balls from our foursome are on the green. And all of a sudden, a guy is walking his dog, I guess, that lives in the neighborhood. Dog runs on the green and grabs one of the balls.
Oh.
And it wasn't mine. It was my friend Judy's. And she's screaming, wait a minute, that's my ball. And the guy sees that the dog took the ball, laughs, immediately gets it, and tries to remember where it came from. It was, like, priceless. But,
no, that's
but
amazing.
I didn't have that moment. Okay, so is it true? Am I really not 20 anymore?
Well, you act like it often.
Thank you. I think. I'm not so sure of that. Thank you. I actually did think, in all seriousness, that I may be trying too hard, and so I think I have to look at how I behave. I want to live my life as me. I want to have excitement. I want to have fun. I don't want to be an old fart. On the other hand, maybe there's sometimes that decorum or whatever you want to call it, discretion might be a little better for me, and I suggest many others. And I imagine, as a former high school pastor and still a pastor that has tons of connection with youth, you often see parents that are trying very hard to be their kids' buddies and to act like them. So I'm curious stories and thoughts you have on the topic.
Yeah, overall, I've witnessed over the last, almost 10 years now between my role at Calvary and the church before. It seems like parents want their kids to like them more than they want their kids to learn from them. And they spend so much time trying to dress like their kids. Boy, I see this so often. You know, even in our community, I go to the grocery store, and, I'm going down the aisle, and I see a mom wearing the exact same thing as her daughter, and gosh, it's just crazy seeing what the moms are trying to wear, because it's just got nothing to do with anything other than trying to have their kids like them. And it's just so surprising to see.
Well,
some of the things that they put on.
And in some cases, it's downright unattractive.
Yes.
I mean, let's face it. You know, wearing a very short skirt if you have lousy legs is not the best thing to do. Or a very revealing top and you're very overweight, you know, that might not be so flattering. In my case, my boys look at what I wear and they go, "Dad, that's so horrible." So obviously I'm doing something right, at least as far as I dress.
There you go.
Okay, because I'm not trying to look like them at all in that regard. Where I get in trouble is when I try to utilize some of their slang. So I go, "That's really sick," and I'll get a look, or, "Boy, that's chill." Okay, these are expressions my boys use. Anytime I do it in front of them, the look I get is blistering. "Dad, dad, dad."
Hmm.
"It's not cool when you use those words. Stop it."
Hmm.
So it is. It's a dance. And you know, the thing, I wrote a column that I think is one of my best columns ever, called "Best Friend or Best Parent," and it goes back to what you said originally. Our job is to be the best parent. They're going to have plenty of friends, and they don't need mom and dad to be their best friend. Of course, as they get older or at any time in life, we want to be friends with our children. But that's not what the role of mom and dad is. And I think there's a confusion that's gone on with the last couple, three generations of parents, thinking that they're doing a good job if they're buddies with their kids. I'm sorry. Buddies don't always tell you, "Do your homework." Buddies don't always tell you, you know, "That's not appropriate. Don't wear that when you go out in public, darling." Buddies don't do some of the stuff. Buddies don't say, "You know something, you're too young to drink or do drugs."
Yeah, even more so than the fashion or the words spoken, like you just said, that there's so many parents who want to be the cool parents. And over the years, I would hear stories of parents who would throw parties at their home and would provide for the kids kegs of beer. They'd provide alcohol because the parents wanted to be the cool parents. And, you know, for a young 14, 15, 16-year-old, they might get this reputation, "Oh, you got the cool parents." But having spent over a decade now working with these kids, I've noticed that as those kids grow up and they transition into college age and beyond, they look back on that season and realize that their parents, who actually taught them and trained them and were better parents than they were just best friends with their kids, now they look back and say, "Wow, my parents were actually cool in caring for me by not doing those things that those other parents were doing." And they kind of grow out of that idea that those parents were cool to begin with.
I have a very sad story that's an offshoot of it, and of course I don't wish this upon anybody, but one of my son's friend's parents were exactly who you just described. They were the parents that allowed, I don't know if they provided it, but they allowed not only liquor, but they allowed drug use at the parties. Drug use being marijuana. As far as I know, there wasn't anything else. So all the kids used to party at my son's friend's house because there was no restrictions. And the parents would be there. They'd see it. Eventually, their son, my son's friend, got very heavily addicted, fell into a very bad depression, and committed suicide. It was a huge blow in the community. You may, in fact, even have remembered when there were three kids that all...
All within a week.
He was one of them. Mm. And I, of course, would never directly blame the parents. You never know if it was an ongoing depression or an ongoing problem. But let's just put it this way. It didn't help. Whether they are in any way responsible, I would rather think not. But that's just not the thing a parent should do. And it's really hard. Recently, I'm struggling with an issue with my older son that I don't want to really go into. But, you know, we've had this kind of best buddy relationship for a long time. And I found myself talking to him. And I know every word coming out of my mouth, he was really not happy to hear. And he got really mad at me last night because I told him something he didn't want to say. And he says, "I just don't want to be around you guys right now." My wife was there, too. And she was agreeing. And I felt terrible. But I knew I had to hold my ground. I couldn't just give in. And sometimes that's very, very hard.
Yeah, it sure is. You know, there's actually in the Proverbs, so King Solomon, he was regarded as the wisest person who ever lived, speaks to this. And he even goes so far to say that you know, whoever spares discipline actually hates their children, but the one who loves their children is careful to discipline them. And it's counterintuitive for some parents. They think, gosh, if I discipline them, if I point out the things that I don't want them to do, or if I try to correct them, they're going to think that I hate them. But really, Scripture says that, you know, if you just let them reach these conclusions on their own, teach themselves, let culture teach themselves, that's actually, you're hating your child. That's actually not a form of love. That's a hard thing to do in the situation, though.
It's very hard in the moment. And frankly, last night was a very rough night for me. I got so upset about it, what was happening, and I knew he needed his space. What I wanted to do was go in and continue the talk and try to convince him. And I knew he needed his space, but it took such a toll on me that I actually lay down in bed at 7:30 and I fell asleep. It's just like I had to escape it. And it turned out in the middle of the night, he actually woke up. My wife happened to be up at that time, and they had a good talk. And then when I saw my son this morning, he had kind of come to the right decision. So by giving him that space, it may have worked out. I don't know. We're still, you know, dealing with this particular issue. Anyway, thank you for your thoughts, Pastor Drew. We're out of time. Please quickly tell our listeners where you're not blogging and where they can find you.
Well, I'm not blogging at drewsams.com, but I spent some time this week getting back up, but I'm on all social networks at Surfer Drew.
Excellent. Thank you. Give my best to Erica, and a big high five to baby Drew. Thank you very much, Pastor Drew. We'll talk at our usual slot, hopefully, next week.
Wonderful.
Okay, stay tuned for author Bryce Abel coming up next. And this thing called love, it can lift you up, it can let you down, take your world, turn it all around. Ever since time, nothing's ever been found that's stronger than love.